minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 136. And my name is Josh Jensen.
And you don't normally talk like that, but it's either the delay that's making you do that or the pizza, the high amounts of pizza you're eating.
It's the delay. I feel like that we're, with me being on an island, this is day two of us broadcasting from me, not just being remote, but being remote in the sense of being on a small island. It does feel a little bit like I am on the moon. and I'm doing some form of Q&A for NASA.
Can you please give me an update of how much data? Because yesterday it was 8 gigabytes of data for the rest of the week. Do we have an update?
Well, now this is the problem. The Vodafone, which is what we're what we're using here, they have a Vodafone app that you can keep track of all these things. Mm. Unfortunately, the Vodafone app requires you to download it through the Italian app store. So I draw the line at that. I'm not going to the effort of getting either one, like an iTunes gift card from Italy to set up my account, or to open up an Italian bank account. So we don't know. We're cowboying it at the highest level.
Good. You know, I love a good rodeo, and I'm currently on a bucking bull. So where I am right now is I left my office because it was raining heavily and the roof was making a lot of noise. And I thought, all right, I've got to get into the car because then I can jet off straight after we finish the podcast to pick up Bodhi. And I've got into the car and it started pissing down 10 times harder. So I apologize if you can hear like the pitter-patter of the raindrops on the roof. But maybe you like that. Maybe it's sending you to sleep right now.
It's the pitter-patter from the raindrops for you, and it's the more of a sort of a gushing sound for me because I'm next to the hotel spa, and they have a constant sort of stream. But this is the perfect time. It's like seven o'clock in the morning, something like that here in Italy. I should know the time. I have Melbourne time still on my computer. It's 3:54 p.m. in Melbourne, and it's 5 minutes to 5 minutes to 8 a.m.
There's something about that though, because when I was traveling, I left, I had my computer on Australian time, and it's something nice knowing the time back home. And it makes you either feel like you've got more left of your day, or if you're just getting started and you start thinking about everyone back at home, Tommy's probably putting Bodhi to bed right now. This is nice.
Isn't it weird? Like, the world is really strange when you think about it like that. The delay was so bad yesterday that Bree has given me sort of a hard out in regards to when I need to have this podcast done, because yesterday I spent half an hour, 40 minutes after the podcast going through and removing the 3 second silence every single time we'd finished a sentence. So this time I'm trying to see what it sounds like, how shit it sounds if I don't edit the silences. So hi@thedailytalkshow.com if you have feedback. Is it really annoying? I don't know. But I think probably it is.
We've got not much option. But dude, I was thinking before, I'm so fucking pumped for you to be back and us to have our podcasting studio. So if you are listening, hang on, because Josh will be back. He's not just living in Europe for the rest of his existence.
I might be back. No, I'll be back.
Oh, we're actually doing something pretty exciting. We're meeting in Los Angeles, and I want to put it out there so that we make it happen. It's around October, so I'm actually going to miss my mum's 70th birthday, and that's how much I appreciate the Daily
Talk
Show.
Who's going to film it? I'm not there to film it. You're not there to film it. Who's going to be filming it?
Well, she's not having a party, so I will be able to call her and tell her that I love her.
Great.
And happy 70th. Yep. And thanks for bringing me into the world. But yeah, so we'll you and I will be in LA doing the podcast for a whole week, and I'm fucking excited about that. But I'm also upset that I'll
We'll get Matt Diavella on the podcast, who does the Ground Up show. So in the meantime, if you haven't listened to the Ground Up show, he interviews super interesting people. Matt made the documentary Minimalism, which is awesome. It's on Netflix, and he's also just a top bloke. And the funniest story that I love when Matt tells it is when he got sued for like $8 million for making a video about a company when he was like,
yeah, it's a bit
21.
Different when you
so yeah,
when they sue you and you don't have $8 million sucked in.
Sucked in, bro. Sucked in.
So Bodie's in this stage where he's he's actually, it's amazing how kids manipulate us from day one. And I don't think, and like, there's no malice involved when they're young, because it's like, it's about their wants. And if they want something,
not until they're teens is there any malice.
Yeah, exactly. So Bodie, from very young age, is like, you know, he'll want to get up into your arms if it means that he will be able to get closer to the light switch. So, I mean, the manipulation's very basic. It's not manipulating for money purposes like adults might, or relationships. But nonetheless, he has manipulated me many a times to get what he wants. But I was thinking, like, there's such a link between that and as you get older, and thinking that you can get away with stuff with older people. And what you say, like, and I don't think, I mean, yes, it is lying, but there's also the just spinning stories to adults that you think that they're just taking in and going, oh, okay, I believe that. And I've done a lot of this in my life, a lot when I was younger, when I was that teenager.
I think that there's a... I thought where you were going with it was the obsession with light switches, because Bodie's going to go from turning the lights on to being a 50-year-old telling all the kids to turn the fucking lights off.
Mate, I caught Bodie at the front door using the keys and trying to just put them into the crack of the door for a good 15 minutes. Mate, I let him go. It was great. I was just sitting on the couch and he was loving it, so I didn't interrupt him. But... I was telling Amy this story the other day about... It was a time that I fucking pulled the wool over. Well, I thought I pulled the wool over some police officers' eyes and spun them this story that was ridiculous. And I'll tell you the story, and you tell me if it's ridiculous or not, all right? This involved a few of my compadres, i.e. James, who you know, our mate James, and a bunch of the other boys.
Yeah.
Well, so my grandpa, when he came back from the war, he lived in this place called the Chevron. The Chevron is this hotel. It was an old hotel, this big building on St Kilda Road in Melbourne. And there used to be a nightclub underneath. And funnily enough, I actually knew some of the bouncers from the gym. This, like, it had closed, but they used to tell me, yeah, I used to work at the Chevron. It was a really rough nightclub next to the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne. And so for years, the Chevron was just abandoned. So they closed the hotel down and they closed the nightclub. And I reckon it would have been a good 10 years, 12 years, maybe more, that there was nothing going on there. So it had just become like... derelict, and there was homeless people living in there and graffiti all over the walls of it. And so we were like, fuck, we have to go in there and investigate what's going on. And so we ended up going, and there was like a fence around it, so there was a gate that was open, so clearly it wasn't trespassing. We just walked in. If you leave the gate open, not trespassing. So we ended up going into this Chevron building, and we took a bunch of tools. We had mag lights, we had like a crowbar, we had hammers. Not sure what we're going to do with it all, but it made sense to carry all this equipment into this abandoned building. And we explored this thing. It was like five levels. It was so much fun. We were like kicking in doors, pretending that we were like covert operatives raiding a building. And it was, I mean, the dark side of it was a lot of heroin addicts were using it as like...
I was going to ask about that. So there were a lot of squatters and things like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was pretty much no one there when we were there a lot of the time. And so on the walls, though, there was this like creepy handwriting of these weird messages of people who were off their face. And there was like some rooms had like shit all over the grounds. So there was that dark side, but then there was this like... old ballroom and, you know, like a massive disco ball up in the ceiling, like old glasses still from the nightclub, and the bathrooms were, you know, some of them were quite well kept. Everything derelict though, like, but just aging. And anyway, this one door we saw that was closed, and we were doing this thing because we were playing a lot of computer games at the time. And so my friend's like, all right, I'm going to front kick the door and then we're going to raid the room. Like, we're just having fun. And so my friend front kicks it, and we all had like...
going to raid the room. What was raiding the room actually going to look like? Were you holding the hammers? What's a raid when you're just a couple of dudes in a room?
We were holding the hammers, and it was just like... You know how you see people, like a SWAT team have guns, and they're like, secure the perimeter, or they go into a room like, this is clear. And so
I did this every Saturday morning when I was when I had black cargo pants and a plastic gun as a kid.
Yeah,
remember? I would so this go around
was,
the house.
This was a little bit more real. I mean, still no guns involved, but we kicked in this door. Well, my mate kicked in the door, and there was a guy in there, and we're like, "Fucking!" We froze, and we clearly didn't have these things in our hands because they were weapons. Because we shat ourselves and ran. Ended up running down into the nightclub, and this was like four stories up, and so we had to go down to the bottom floor. And as we're going down the stairs, we looked out one of the windows to the back of the building, and we saw cops coming into the building. And so we're fucking shitting ourselves, and we ended up running down into the nightclub area, and the nightclub area was like pitch black, so we had a few torches. We managed to get through. One of the things, this is why you don't explore old buildings, because we worked out that we had been walking around a room that had a massive hole in the ground, and we had just not seen it or walked in that area until we were running through with the torches. So luckily we didn't fall into the massive cavity that was on the dance floor.
If the hole won't get you, the asbestos will anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's could still come years later, but... Anyway, we got to this point where it was like this broken
window. Good tease, very morbid, dark tease, but still a tease.
Could be a 10-year tease that I am that's currently playing out. So there was this broken window, and I was with maybe four of us, and we had a bunch of tools and mag lights and crowbars and shit. And so what we did was we didn't have time for all of us to get out, and so we boosted up two of the people that were with us to get out this broken window and take all the tools. Because they're like, if they find us and they see us with all this shit in our backpack, they're going to be like, what the fuck's going on here? So anyway, we got two of the people out, and then we ended up just walking up to the entrance where they were, like where they were coming in. And we said, we like gave ourselves up basically. But before we gave ourselves up, I came up with an elaborate story, which I thought, they're going to totally believe this. And the story was that we were at Paran Station, and it was just me and these two other guys, and all of a sudden, these Oakley Wogs, that was a gang back then, I'm not being insensitive. They called themselves Wogs. So I said, tell them that the Oakley Wogs chased us, and we ran because they tried to roll us, which was a big thing back then. People were getting rolled for their mobile phones, 3310s. And I said, the Oakley Wogs were chasing us, and we ran down here, and we came in this entrance because we saw it was a way to get away from them. And they and so we told the cops this, and all I remember is that they didn't tell us whether they believed it or not, but they were like, all right, well, I guess you guys, you got to go. You got to get out of here. You can't come back. And so in my mind, it was the
maybe there isn't an African gang problem at all. Maybe it's just little shits like you saying that these African gangs are chasing them into buildings. Maybe they don't. Maybe these African gangs that are being spoken about in Melbourne don't even exist. Maybe it's completely created by the Tommy Jacket of 2018.
we got chased. Who were they? Oh, it was the African gang. I mean, we put the Oakley Wogs in it. It's fucked. It is. It's good point. Good point. So, sorry for any Oakley Wogs listening. I threw you under the bus and it got us out. But just an update, that guy that was in the building that we stormed the room, he ended up getting caught as well. And he was the one that got in more trouble because he had a backpack on him too with all these tools in it because he was looking for copper to steal.
Looking for copper to steal. Like, what? I didn't even know. Like, how old is this kid and how much money can you make off copper?
Well, there is people who go copper hunting. Like, you can... You could look it up right now. How much do you get per kilogram of copper? There's like a place that you can take it to, scrap metal joint, per kilogram of copper. Anyway, I mean, you're doing what you can.
Well, a lot of the buildings, they've got these sort of indents where it sort of looks like there's just like big holes. And what they're from is basically they... I shouldn't go into history because, I'm shocking. But basically, I think they used copper or some sort of metal within the buildings to keep them up. And then at some point throughout the centuries, people have come and basically hammered out all of the metal because it was worth a bunch of money. And surprisingly, all the buildings are still actually intact. But yeah, when you see, I don't know, I think maybe the, was it the Colosseum, Breezer? I don't know. I feel like there's a few iconic sort of areas in Rome where you'll see, when you see those holes, a lot of the time it's actually for that reason rather than it just sort of deteriorating. Someone's gone through and funny. Your mate with his backpacks just gone through getting all the copper.
Did you believe my story that the Oakley Wogs had chased us into this building?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is really dark because there would have definitely been an element of there's a racial bit to it, which is sort of, you can look back in hindsight now and be like, you know, the Aussie, the good Aussie larrikin boys are being chased by the Wogs. You know, like it's got a bit of that. But no, I think it's very believable.
Oh, it's 100%. Good. Yeah, well, I don't know if they did.
I guess.
Either way.
the thing is, like, what were the cops going to do anyway? Like, I find it interesting that that's where they were putting their time and energy. Maybe it was just because they knew that someone was going to fall through the fucking floor.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, there's a few fine details that I've left out that probably would incriminate me, but it's all good.
It's all good. Wow.
All good.
Let's do word of the day now. Word of the day. We're trialing what people might notice with being in this part of the world where the latency is pretty horrendous. We're having longer monologues. So if we don't interrupt each other, it's not because we're not interested. It's because whenever we interrupt each other, it sort of ruins the flow. But one thing that I was just going to point out, TJ, a little hack for people, because I'm not going to edit this one. If you use Pocket Cast, or even I think Overcast does this as well. I think it's called Overcast. Basically, there's a silence removing feature in the podcast app, so you can actually press the button and it just gets rid of all the silences. So rather than just speeding up a podcast, it just gets rid of all of that, so people talk really quickly. But I feel like this would be a good use case for that feature because there are those 1 second gaps between some bits that we're saying.
And
anyway,
you and I have had many conversations.
I'm digressing.
We've had many conversations about you not liking pauses in conversation. So that's a perfect app for you.
Yeah, actually, that it's so true. And I'm so triggered by this idea because Tommy and I, on early, early episodes, probably the biggest pain point was I just wanted this certain cadence. I wanted this to be going bang, 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 bang. I didn't want there to be any sort of slow moments or silences. And this right now is forced silences.
But when I'm telling you about my dog who died.
I do remember just a quick... Yeah, no, you just got to go quickly into a zinger straight after the dog story. But the actually, what I was going to... I've just been thinking about when doing this show, we should get Hamish on again at some point. You can tell this story. But I remember when Hamish was doing one of his shows, it may have been Business Brunch or something like that. He had a short stint in New York, which he's actually doing again real soon. But basically, when he was away, they used an ISDN line to do the show remotely. And initially, it was going to be like, oh, yeah, he's just in studio or whatever. But when he got to New York, he realized how bad the quality of the ISDN line was, where they just had to basically say, Hamish is in New York. And it was like, I don't know if people, big fans of Hamish and Andy, will remember this. You could hear the difference in the quality. So that's what the only thing that's keeping me going is knowing how much respect we have for what the boys have done. And it feels like this is just part of our journey, is having some episodes where we're remote and we play in this area.
Oh, so 100%. We've got to do it. Hopefully we don't lose our whole audience.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. Yeah, the hardcore fans, hashtag super fans, will keep on listening. And if you are listening, send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. We see people are still, like, we're still creeping up in the numbers. We're growing, which is awesome. But I wonder, it's always good to know, are people downloading and then listening all the way through, or are they turning off? But word of the day, TJ.
Yes.
Today's word is precarious. Can you describe what you think precarious means?
God, this is, and we spoke about this as being one of the reasons why we wanted to do word of the day, was because half the time when you are in a conversation, you could probably use some of these words but not truly understand the meaning, but you get that it's in the right context. And this is one of those ones that I've used,
yeah.
Precarious. So it's, I've used it in a sentence. And
how would you use it?
Precariously. So, I can't, I know I've used it, but I can't even tell you right now when I've used it.
You're so close. I feel like I know that this is a journey that I want to explore. I think that you can put it in a sentence.
Yeah, okay.
What's precariously? What is it? When would you say it? First thing that comes to mind.
I was navigating over some rocks precariously.
Okay, great. Perfect. I think that that's a fair use. So precariously, an adjective. One day we'll do a whole episode on what adjectives are one day, but until then, not securely held or in position, dangerously likely to fall or collapse, a precarious ladder.
Yeah.
It's dependent on chance, uncertain. He made a precarious living as a painter. I think you nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. It's like when Bodhi climbed up onto the dinner table the other day. He was in a precarious situation.
On the dinner table.
A precarious position.
Yeah. It feels like we're ESL. It's great.
No, I was about to say, I don't care what they say. We are better than we think. All right.
No, this is good. Hey, before we go, I wanted to talk about me going viral. Being away, what do you know about the going viral story? What's your perspective on my new fame?
All I know is that you put up a photo, and it's all it is this family. I mean, all it is, it's a fucking great photo. A family in a pool, and then this obviously like their daughter or their friend, and they're all taking a photo on this one camera. And I don't know what your caption was, something like supporting the... Oh, it's nice when the family's supporting the Instagram lifestyle or something like that.
Yeah, so basically where we're staying, we're staying on an island in Italy, but the hotel that we're staying at has a lot of like Europeans, a bunch of Russians and stuff like that. So it's awesome because you get this real, you don't only get the cultural differences of, you know, the country that you're in, but we're getting the nuances that is the people who are staying where we're staying. And we're staying with, I'm talking quieter because I'm next to the pool, but and I saw them at breakfast. But basically, there's what I believe to be a Russian family. And the daughter within that family must be considered the hottest thing ever sort of created, because they have been taking so many photos of her in different positions. So like in the pool, they did a big photo shoot all on like just a phone. And then I was watching them having dinner, and she was like, she'd do a photo of her holding a glass, and then she'd do one like, then they would walk, they'd move positions, and then she'd be next to a tree, and then she'd be next to the sunset. Like, it's full on. So anyway, I was looking outside our balcony, and I saw the girl in one pool, and then the dad and the mum was in the spa from a distance, like taking a photo of her sort of leaning over sensually. Anyway, the brother initially, who I believe to be the brother, was sort of walking in front of the shot and all that sort of thing, and just sort of being a little bit of a smartass, like he was over it. But then he got right involved. And he was like, he realized that if he's going to want to be in the family, he's got to pay his sister some attention. And so he has gone over and he's leaning on his mum and dad looking at the phone screen as they're taking a photo. So I've got this photo of this family in their bathers, all sort of huddled around, the son sort of hugging the parents as they're taking a photo of their daughter in a bikini. And I... you couldn't really see their faces. It felt like it was a distant enough photo that I didn't feel like it was some sort of public shaming. And I said something along the lines of, you know, when your family is supportive of your Instagram modeling career. And at the time, when you and I have a big Instagram post, one that we're really proud of, we talk about it. I said, TJ, I was messaging you. I'm on my holiday. I'm messaging you. I'm like, mate, this is going to blow up. I can tell. I'm going to get over, you know, the most likes I've ever gotten on a post. And so that's where it left. That was on, I think, Sunday night, which is, if anyone doesn't know, Sunday night, optimum time. You'll hear the best wedding announcements and sort of on a Sunday. That's when people are dropping the big news for the highest amount of engagement. And it did very well. And then I woke up Monday morning having breakfast, and I see Brown Cardigan, which is like the fuck Jerry of Australia, posted the photo, and it's got thousands and thousands of likes. So I've basically retired as a content creator, feeling good about myself. And sort of looking around breakfast, you know, in the mornings at the hotel, thinking, if only everyone knew the sort of exposure that I've given this place.
And they, I mean, she's getting no followers. I really want you to dig deep and try and see if you can find her account. And then we can see, I mean, you might be the one that's like, she might be the one that's laughing. She might have 7 million Russian followers, and she's actually getting paid to be there, and you're a sucker who's paying to be at that hotel. So the tables might be switched and you've actually got her more exposure, and she's just made a lot more money.
I really hope that she is actually getting paid, because it's a lot of work. But that's what the one thing that I have been thinking about with this trip is, at the beginning of the trip, I was sort of obsessed about not being a tourist. And now my concern has moved from not worrying about being a tourist, but worrying about being a good traveler. And I wonder, with what she's doing, is she being a good traveler? And I know that like in the last few days as we're on a relaxing island, I've spent a bunch of time. I paid for the masterclass .com subscriptions. I have access to all their masterclasses, and I'm watching videos on Malcolm Gladwell, the author, talking about writing and just delving down that. And I do have moments where I'm like, maybe if you're on an island in summer, you shouldn't be in your hotel room watching Malcolm Gladwell tell you how to develop a story.
Yeah.
What's your vibe? What's your feedback to me?
No, I'm the guy on your shoulder that is saying that same thing. Get out there and explore. But I think travel is unique for everybody, and it's up to you what you want to do with it. I mean, this might be her version of fun, getting the family around and in her bikini in the pool, and she might be the one who's nailing her version of holiday.
Yeah, her version. It's so true, because like, what else are you actually going to do? Like what's the alternative? Just like being in the pool. She's getting some content, she's having some fun. It's definitely a mix. Like yesterday, Bree and I were like, we had a really chill one. I sort of, Bree spends a lot more time in the sun than I like spending. But then at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? Like we were sort of getting ready just to sort of chill out for the evening. Mm-hmm. I was like, actually, let's just go out and explore. So we went and found a bar, and we had a pina colada, a couple of pina coladas. And
do not say it like that to anybody over there.
Is that not how you... I don't know if they it's probably good. I'm probably pronouncing my words. Why do some people say pronouncing, some people say pronouncing? Isn't that ironic? Don't you think?
I've never met anyone who says that the way that you said it.
Pronounce. Well, you know how people say pronunciation?
Yeah, but it's a different...
I don't know. Anyway.
It's an extended word. All right, we're leaving it there. Josh has gone viral. That's the name of the episode. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. Yeah. If you've listened this far, we love you.
Yeah, thank you. No, we really do love you. And we're very excited. Like this, even though this does have the little bit of hardness in regards to effort and the the amount of effort that you put in versus the quality that's coming out maybe isn't completely aligned. I am more excited than ever the more that we do this about what's to come, and episode 500 and 1,000 and 1,500 and episode 10,000. That's what I'm excited about anyway. Maybe I've gone too grandiose. But it's a Daily
when
Talk Show, everyone.
When did I have
everyone.
To get my tattoo?
Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. Probably, I think it was episode 150. No. Could you imagine? That'd be a good treat. Maybe you could get one in LA.
Maybe.
Be some. If I organise an LA tattooist, we could even do that. Maybe you could get Sandra Sully's name tattooed for episode 200. That could be a nice treat. Anyway, The Daily Talk Show. Have a good one, everyone.